Welcome to Are You Quizzing Me? I am Vineet Nair with my co-host Aditya Kashyap. This is a quizzing trivia podcast show. Join us as we dive deep into history, science, pop culture, and so much more. Let's get quizzing.
And we're back for episode number 66 of Are You Quizzing Me? Your favorite trivia and quizzing podcast show. Tia and I are back for another round of quizzing. And let's start off today's episode with the audience question, which I will answer at the end of the episode. So the audience question for today is, the logo of this sports team features a rotating Sudarshana Chakra, which is the discoid weapon of Lord Vishnu from Hindu mythology. The logo shows the Sudarshana Chakra, leaving behind trails of orange and green, colors that represent the Indian national flag. The anglicized version of the Sudarshana Chakra, Razors, was initially considered as the team name before the current name was chosen. Which team am I talking about? I will answer this question at the end of today's episode. We now move on to the not-so-serious portion of our podcast, where every week Aditya asks a question that's quite silly and answers it with an even sillier answer at the beginning of the next episode. So Aditya, what was your question from the end of last week's episode, and what answer have you cooked up for us?
All right. So my question from last week was that if a grotesque, and please go listen to last week's episode to understand the context. It's a great question. But if a grotesque, which usually has scary looking feature or animal or character in place, had an Indian character, perhaps from Indian movies, which Indian character would be the most apt to be used as a grotesque on a building? And here my answer would be directed towards actually Tamil cinema. And I don't know, Vineet, if you have seen this movie. You are more well-versed in South Indian films than I am. Have you watched Sai Pallavi's film about a legal drama that was released in 2022?
I know the movie you're talking about, but no, I have not watched it. Gargi, I think, is the name of the movie, right?
There we go. The name of the movie is Gargi, which is short for Gargoyle.
Oh, God. Oh, I did not know where you were going there. I thought there must be some horrible character in that movie who you're going to do this. You're going to get hate mail for this. You're absolutely going to get hate mail for this.
No, Sai Pallavi is obviously a great actor and she's done some great films and Gargi is one of them. But also it would be a great cute little reference to call a gargoyle a Gargi. I think that should become a norm.
No, let's not. Let's not do that. Let's just not do that. Moving on, as quickly as possible from that disaster, let's go on with the regular round of quizzing for today. Aditya, why don't you start us off with your question?
All right. So at this point, I have to acknowledge that my job was made easier this week thanks to Ayush. So Ayush reached out to us over email and has given me some good questions to ask. Thank you, Ayush. And always a shout out to any listener who feels like they could want to contribute a question. Feel free to email us and tag either me or Vineet in the subject line. And we will ask those questions in an upcoming episode, hopefully. So today's episode features questions from Ayush. All right, the first question that Ayush, since he sent multiple questions, I'll take the best out of the three he sent to begin, has to do with Indian politics and specifically a member of parliament. The name of this member of parliament is Maulana Badruddin Ajmal. So, Mr. Ajmal, in 2009, which was an election year, in 2009, was awarded a seat in parliament. The 54-year-old from Assam was aghast about the division number that was allotted to him. He immediately asked the Lok Sabha secretariat to change the number. He was willing to accept even the unlucky 13. Eventually, they changed this number entirely and today this number is no longer allotted. What number was this?
Which year was this again?
2009.
And he was allotted a number. What kind of number? Is it like an ID number or a seat number? What number was he allotted?
Okay, so a division number is the number in context here.
Okay.
So it's basically allotted to each member in Lok Sabha or Rajya Sabha for recording their vote.
Okay.
Yeah, whenever they're voting in Lok Sabha or Rajya Sabha, they are given a number. That's called a division number.
Okay. It doesn't, like the Lok Sabha numbers don't go above 600. Otherwise, I would have thought of 666, the mark of the devil or something like that. Is it because it was some kind of holy number that he did not want to, you know, use for politics or something like that?
So, Maulana Badruddin Ajmal, I'm assuming, Muslim person, and the most common holy number would be 786.
Yeah, but, so then that's quite high, yeah.
Yeah, again, and also to clarify, he was insulted at the number. So, not that he felt that it was...
Okay.
...be sacrilegious, not that, but he was insulted at that number.
He was insulted by the number. Okay. There is a piece of trivia from the 50s about Parliament. And I'm guessing this is a kind of parallel to that. So I'm going to try and guess if it's the same thing. Is it 420, 420?
It is 420. It was division number 420 that was allotted to him. And he thought that it was just frankly unacceptable. So he really asked for any other number except 420. Eventually, he was allotted 419A.
Okay.
Lok Sabha has now abolished the number 420. So, nobody's given them division number 420 anymore. It's everybody apparently now only gets 419A.
Okay. So, for context to our listeners who may be confusing 420 for other reasons, if you are in India, 420 stands for Section 420 of the erstwhile Indian Penal Code, which has now been replaced. So, the erstwhile Indian Penal Code had Section 420 as the section for cheating, fraud. So, in the general parlance in India, saying somebody is a 420 or 420, as it's called in Hindi, is akin to calling them a fraud. If you're somebody listening outside of India, 420 has a completely different meaning. It's a connotation for marijuana. Now, the piece of context that kind of pointed me towards this was, I know a piece of trivia from the 1950s, where after the release of the movie Shri 420, that is Shri 420, parliamentarians insisted that their salary be increased, yearly salary be increased by 1 rupee. Because till then, their salary amount was 420. But after the movie came out, and parliamentarians realized ki, okay, their amount of money is 420. They didn't want that connotation after that movie came out. They made a big fuss and had their salaries increased by 1 rupee.
You know, I'm kind of impressed that they only shot for a rupee.
Yeah, rupee like... went a long way in those days.
Yeah, fair enough. When it is
before the devaluation, I think the rupee was on par with the pound and the dollar. So you could have literally like 1 rupee was equivalent to a dollar or a pound, if I remember correctly. Immediately after independence, it was later that the rupee devalued quite a bit.
Yep. So you got that very quickly. 420 was the number in question. And that question was courtesy Ayush, who reached out to us with a bunch of questions, actually. So thank you, Ayush.
So Ayush did the same thing for me as well. So he had sent me a couple of questions. I have modified the questions a little bit. My apologies, Ayush, but I thought I could kind of modify the question a little bit to make it a little challenging for Aditya. So the next question is also one that is sent by Ayush. So in 1925 or 1920, depending upon who you ask, M.N. Roy, sure, along with a few others, founded something which still exists today, though it has been banned at least 3 times that I know of. However, M.N. Roy first founded something similar, not in India, but in Mexico in 1917. And that existed till 1981. So what is it that M.N. Roy founded in Mexico and then 3 years later in India? 3 years or 8 years, depending upon who you ask.
Can you give me those years again?
So, in 1925 or 1920, again, it changes depending upon your viewpoint and who you ask, M.N. Roy, along with a few others, founded something which still exists today in India, although it's been banned at least 3 times that I know of. However, M.N. Roy had first founded something similar, not in India, but in Mexico in 1917, which existed till 1981. So what did M.N. Roy found in Mexico and then 3 years or again 8 years, depending upon how you look at it, later in India?
The word found, because initially I was thinking it could be some sort of a drug or a medicine, but you're saying the word found, so I'm assuming it's a club.
I think people would be insulted if you called it a club. At least their members would be insulted if you called it a club.
Interesting. The members themselves would be insulted. Okay. So then is it some sort of a political party?
Okay. Very, very close now. Now, put two things together. The time period and political party.
1920s political party?
Still exists today.
Still exists today?
In India.
And also,
in Mexico, it existed till 1981.
Yeah, Mexico and India. 1920s, I remember, was HSRA. But obviously, that doesn't exist anymore.
Okay, put the things that you have already kind of worked out together. Right, you've worked out it's a political party.
Uh-huh.
I'm giving you the time period of its founding, which was in the... Uh-huh. At least 1917 in Mexico and 1920-25 in India. I also mentioned that they've been banned a couple of times in India.
Yeah.
Put all these together and then see if it's possible for you to narrow down to the answer.
3 times they've been banned in India.
Yeah. 3 times, out of which 1 time it was a state ban, not an all-India ban.
Oh, okay. Is it some communist party?
Ding, ding, ding. That's the right answer. It's the Communist Party of India. Yes. So, M.N. Roy, M.N. Roy was the founder, was one of the founders of the Communist Party of India. He had also founded the Mexican Communist Party in 1917.
Wow, how did that happen?
So there's a story. Now, Ayush has given me the complete history for this, so I'm just going to paraphrase his words on this. So, M.N. Roy, which stands for Manabendra Nath Roy, he was actually born as Narendra Nath Bhattacharya, but changed his name to M.N. Roy. He was a 20th century Indian revolutionary, philosopher, radical activist, and political theorist. He was the founder of the Mexican Communist Party and the Communist Party of India, Tashkent Group. In 1915, amid the onset of World War I, he undertook multiple journeys to Indonesia, aided by German connections, to acquire weapons for a plot against British rule. He was also an ardent communist. He then went to the US, where his arrival drew intense scrutiny from British intelligence, leading to a newspaper report in San Francisco, which reads, and this is an amazing headline, "Mysterious alien reaches America. Famous Brahmin revolutionary or dangerous German spy." He then fled to Palo Alto, California, where he assumed a new identity, changing his name from Narendra Nath Bhattacharya then to Manabendra Nath Roy. And during his during the U.S. involvement in World War I, because of his anti-colonial stance, he faced arrest. He then skipped bail, fled to Mexico, and founded the Mexican Communist Party there. His involvement continued as he played a pivotal role in founding the Communist Party of India in 1920, collaborating with 6 other leaders in Tashkent. So it was founded in Tashkent in 1920, but the charter was only written in 1925. So there are 2 viewpoints, depending upon who you ask, as to when the party was actually founded. In between, he also had many other adventures. He went to Russia. He was close to Lenin. But then I think he had a falling out with Stalin, and then he had to flee Russia. Came back to India. Again, was arrested multiple times. He was active in the movement. He was a fan of Subhash Chandra Bose. And then later on in his life, he moved away a little bit from communism and more towards humanism. He died in 1954. Fascinating fellow.
Interesting. And I guess started the long-lasting culture of Indians going to Palo Alto.
Yes, yeah. I think that's one. He also married an American woman, if I'm not mistaken, who changed her name to Shanti Devi.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yes, very cool. So, again, Ayush, thank you so much for this question. We have other questions which I will pepper throughout the next few episodes or maybe even in this one, who knows. So, let's move on to Aditya. What's your question? What's your next question?
Likewise. So I will actually use one of my own questions before I come back to another one of Ayush's questions in this episode itself. So this one is a little piece of trivia that I came across recently, and I thought it was absolutely hilarious and something that everybody should know of if they don't already. So there is a website that was launched in 2020. Track machines that were not working in a specific context. This was created by a 24-year-old software engineer and aimed to end such incidents once and for all. It was initially only for the United States, but eventually I think it catered to across the world. What website was this and what were they tracking?
So you want the name of the website?
Well, you can tell me what they were tracking and I'll take that also.
Okay. Given the year and you said machines not working, I'm not sure if this fits in the question, but what came to mind is that is this a website that tracks AI that is not working as it's supposed to, and he's trying to prevent like a Skynet-like evolution of saw AI going wild and creating a post-apocalyptic world where John Connor will arise and send a Terminator back in time.
Oh, this is you're making it a lot more important than it actually is. Oh,
Okay.
no.
No. Okay. No, but it would have been cool if that was the answer. But no. Okay. Machines not working in a certain context. Is this very serious or a silly kind of context?
Extremely silly. Extremely silly, but I would argue in defense of this software engineer that something I care about too. So silly yet important.
Wow, that's a very narrow definition. He's got a tracker for specific instances of this, which means that whatever is happening, there would have to be some kind of news source for him to gather this information, right? For him to get the data. Like if it was kind of anecdotal stuff that happens to people, like them losing their keys or their phone not working or something like that, then that would be very difficult for him to get any kind of accurate data. But since you're saying that he's tracking this on a website, it has to be newsworthy, am I right? I mean, like there'll be some kind of article or something in that
There have been
context.
multiple lovely tweets.
Okay, so he's trolling from Twitter, so then it could be anything.
So he hasn't tweeted about it as much as other people have, I guess.
Yeah, no, so I'm guessing the website trolls Twitter to get the information.
I'll tell you how this thing works. So maybe that helps you answer this question. Zayed, who is the software engineer who came up with this, he created a bot that attempts to order a specific thing every 30 minutes. If the bot successfully adds the item to the checkout, it knows that this machine is working. If it isn't able to add the item, it knows that the machine is broken. And that's how it keeps track of which machines are working and which machines are broken across the country, across the United States of America.
The bot is able to do it online, then it's not like a vending machine or something like that. It has to be something that's online. Amazon servers?
It is also in person, but online as well.
Okay, I'm just lost. Is it like the McRib or a pumpkin spice latte or something like that?
Oh, you're very close. You're very, very close, especially with the first.
The McRib. Yeah, that's a thing they keep. Wait, there wasn't there some kind of dip that McDonald's was famous for? I'm think I'm going cold looking at your face. No, so it's not that.
Well, McDonald's was where it's at, but.
Not the McRib. It tries to add something to the cart, and if it's possible, it's working. Are these the self-order kiosks at McDonald's? Is he tracking whether they are working?
No, because if you were to order online, you can't,
You
it doesn't
can't
matter
do it
this.
on the kiosk, yeah. The condition is what really throws me off because if he's able to add it to cart, then the machine is working. But then
So it's a specific item on the list. It's a specific item on the menu.
But yeah, but whatever item it is, if he's able to add it, it's working. So then
It's very famous for being broken all the time.
Is it their slushy machine?
Yes, it is the...
What, the softy? McFlurry, okay. Machine, the softy, oh. Wait, what?
It's called mcbroken.com. And it basically tracks all of the ice cream vending machines across the locations in the United States of America that are working or not working currently by just trying to place an order online. So if it manages to place it, that means that the machine is working. Interestingly enough, it is such a trope that there have been so many funny tweets, and I'm just going to tell you a few of them. McDonald's itself tweeted one thing back in 2020 itself, and there was, "We have a joke about a soft serve machine, but we're worried it won't work." Self-aware humor. I think Wendy's had a really funny one as well. So McDonald's had tweeted something along the lines of, "If you were the person who ran the McDonald's account for a day, what would you tweet?" And Wendy's replied to that tweet by saying, "Where the things that should be fresh are frozen, and the things that should be frozen are out of order."
Oh, that was savage. That was savage.
Interestingly enough, a very stupid reason as to why they're broken so often. So there's a company called Taylor Company, which manufactures ice cream machines. And for the longest time, they have been the exclusive provider for ice cream machines for McDonald's. So contractually obligated to buy those machines. And they have a very long, apparently, cleaning cycle. So they're supposed to be done overnight whenever those outlets are not in operation. Mm-hmm. But if something goes wrong, they restart it. And that takes a couple of hours again. So very often when they tell you that the machine isn't working, it's because it's being cleaned.
Oh.
And the cleaning process takes quite a while. And because of this monopoly that Taylor Company had over ice cream machines and McDonald's, we so often do not get a McFlurry because the machine isn't working. And that's the little story behind mcbroken.com.
First of all, I find it, I don't know if weird is the right word. Somebody was so invested in a McFlurry that he made an entire website to track if the machines are working or not. And second, what does it say about me that in my entire life, even though I've been to McDonald's countless times, both here and in the Middle East, I have never, ever ordered one of their softies or McFlurries?
Oh, they're actually not bad. You should try it out. And, I say this knowing fully well that I'm endorsing a company that probably doesn't need any endorsement.
Okay, moving on. My next question is based in history a little bit. Charles de Batz de Castelmore. Let me repeat the name for you again. Charles de Batz de Castelmore was born at Chateau de Castelmore near Lupiac in southwestern France. He died at the siege of Maastricht in the Franco-Dutch War. Like many of his ilk, he would have remained a tiny footnote in history if not for a fictionalized account of his life by Gatien de Courtil de Sandras, which in turn formed the basis for a trilogy of books in which he was one of the leading characters. He has been portrayed on film and television in excess of 40 times by many celebrated actors, including Douglas Fairbanks, Gene Kelly, Chris O'Donnell, and Gabriel Byrne. How do we better know Charles de Batz de Castelmore?
Is it The Mask of Zorro?
No. Good guess, but no. Mask of Zorro would have been Mexico. Mexico, to say it right. I'm not making fun. It's actually how it's pronounced.
I like how you got defensive. Okay. So, not The Mask of Zorro. French character then, right?
Yeah. Castelmore, near Lupiac in southwestern France, and he died in the Franco-Dutch War.
I'm trying to think of iconic French characters.
I'll just repeat one portion of the question again for you. Like many of his ilk, he would have remained a tiny footnote in history if not for a fictionalized account of his life by Gatien de Courtil de Sandras, which in turn formed the basis for a trilogy of books in which he was the leading character, or one of the leading characters.
Honestly, the first French character that comes to mind is always Inspector Clouseau. But I don't think you're talking about
this
the
is
Pink
not
Panther.
It's not the Pink Panther, no.
And trilogy of books.
Yes, it's a trilogy.
No, I think I'll need some sort of hint.
There are four main characters in the books, out of which this guy is one. There are four main characters.
That does not help me at all. No
No,
clue what you're talking about, so I can't even think of.
I guarantee you know this book. Gen Z, I don't expect them to know about it, but they may know it from movies, so that's also possible. But you and I, our generation, we definitely know it. Like, this was one of the books that, people always said that you have to read. Like, when you're in school and whatnot, there are certain books that they keep telling you have to read.
Only when I remember that would fit the description is the Little Prince, but obviously Little Prince does not have
Let's say
four
high school,
characters.
not like think high school.
No, I am quite
Okay,
clueless right now.
I'll give you a clue. I don't know how much of a clue this is going to be, but the books were actually co-written. So the trilogy of books we're talking about were actually co-written by two authors, right? Both of them contributed to the writing. However, to someone like you or me, or if you went to buy the book off the shelves, you would find only the name of one of the authors, while the other author, whose name I'm going to tell you, is August Macquet or Macquet. His name is almost always left out.
So, what is the name of the first author?
I haven't told you the name of the first author. I've told you the name of the
Oh,
co-writer. If I told you the name of the
okay.
first author, it would be over, finished, done. Like, there would be no question as to which book I'm talking about. It is extremely famous.
And you also said he would have been a footnote if not for a fictionalized account. So, I'm trying to
Of
think
his
of
life.
maybe.
So I'll go the movie route. Maybe that'll help you. Okay. So the movies which you may have seen based on this character, there was a 1993 Disney movie which featured Charlie Sheen, Kiefer Sutherland, Oliver Platt, and Chris O'Donnell. Then there was a 2011 movie which featured Luke Evans, Ray Stevenson, Mila Jovovich. Okay. This character also appeared in 1998-99 movie which starred Gabriel Byrne along with Leonardo DiCaprio in his first big role after Titanic.
Oh, Gabriel Byrne, the guy from Usual Suspects.
Yes.
Oh, I don't remember seeing him in a lot of films.
This was okay. Let me try working out backwards. After Titanic, this was Leo's first big role. The movie wasn't a big hit, but it was his first big role after Titanic.
Okay, so the reason I know that this might be the film, and well, tell me if I'm wrong. I think it is Man in the Iron Mask.
Yes, the movie is Man in the Iron Mask. Okay, so yeah.
The reason I know this is because of an YouTube video. A lot of people might have seen this, the Honest Trailer series,
Yeah.
the Honest Trailer Chat.
Yes. Yeah.
He did one of the Iron Mask, and the joke was, "What do you do with the biggest heartthrob that every woman is swooning over? You put him in a movie where his face is invisible for half the film."
But to be fair, you do see his face as his twin brother, so that's fair enough.
Which brings you to the point that I haven't seen the movie, so I have no idea what Gabriel Byrne played in that.
Okay.
But I'm assuming it's some sort of a, because it's a period film, so some sort of a general or a spy, something like that.
No, something a little more common. The name of the first book is universally known. I can tell you that. In the trilogy, the name of the first book is universally known. Like, if I just told you right now, you would immediately get to it. You'd be like, oh, yes.
And French book, that's what I'm trying to think, tripping me up.
Okay, I'm going to give you one last clue, and then you have to tell me who it is. I'm going to give you
No, that's.
one line which has been immortalized from the books and the movies.
Yeah.
Okay, you ready? Sitting down?
Go for it.
Buckled
Yeah.
up?
Yeah.
All for one, one for all.
Oh my God. You're telling me Shah Rukh Khan did not come up with this in Chak De India?
No!
Okay, because it's a trilogy, I'm not so sure because I didn't know that this was a trilogy or if it is the right answer. I'm just going to hazard a guess. Is it the Three Musketeers?
Yes, it is the Three Musketeers. Who are we talking about then? Who's the character we are talking about? The protagonist, if you could say.
The Count something.
No.
Oh, man.
No, no. You're thinking of the Count of Monte Cristo?
Oh, yes, I'm confusing that record. What it is. No.
Okay, I'll tell you. I told you there are four major characters, four major protagonists in the movie or in the books. Okay. I'll tell you three of them. Tell me the fourth one. So you have Athos. You have Athos, Porthos, and Aramis.
I've not read the book, so I have no context to the story.
Oh, okay, okay. I'll give you the answer. The answer is D'Artagnan.
D'Artagnan, yes.
So D'Artagnan, maybe my age is becoming apparent, because in my day, everybody, like, Three Musketeers was like required reading.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think it was that.
It was quite big when I was growing up, like Three Musketeers, The Count of Monte Cristo. Alexandre Dumas was one of the kind of adventure authors that everybody used to read, classic, when it comes to classic literature.
I did read Count of Monte Cristo. I did not read
One of my favorite revenge books of all time, The Count of Monte Cristo. It's just so cinematic.
You're right, actually. Cinematic is the right way to describe.
Yeah.
Fantastic book.
So, for those who did not know, The Three Musketeers is a very famous historical novel, adventure novel. It's a swashbuckler, lot of sword play, intrigues, spies and whatnot. And it was written by French author Alexandre Dumas in collaboration with Auguste Macquet, who was a ghostwriter. So, many people would have heard of The Three Musketeers. Obviously, there have been numerous movies made on it, right? There is a Disney movie which I would ask you to watch. It's just silly. And we're not one of the greatest. It's not a good movie, frankly, in my opinion. From the early 90s, again on the Three Musketeers, where Chris O'Donnell played D'Artagnan. What many people don't know is that the Three Musketeers, the book, was part of a trilogy, and the second in the series was called 20 Years After, and the third book in the series was called The Vicomte of Bragelonne 10 Years Later. If you've heard of the legend of the man in the iron mask, Alexandre Dumas' theory on that is what he put in his novel, The Vicomte of Bragelonne, 10 years later. And that was loosely used as inspiration for the 1999 Leonardo DiCaprio movie, The Man in the Iron Mask. Aditya, have you heard of The Man in the Iron Mask?
No.
So, The Man in the Iron Mask is an enduring mystery. It's still unsolved, though there are many, many theories about it. There was a prisoner in the Bastille who apparently had a mask. It was supposed to be a velvet mask where his face was covered all the time. Alexandre Dumas made it an iron mask. So this prisoner was never allowed to show his face to anyone. We still don't know the identity of this particular prisoner. It's a very, very famous mystery. And one of the theories, which is what is seen in both the novel by Alexandre Dumas and the Leonardo DiCaprio movie, is that this was the twin of the French king, or a sibling of the French king, and he was imprisoned so that there would be no challenger to the French throne.
Interesting. Okay. Okay. Now I feel like I have to watch the...
Yeah, the movie is bad. Just read the book, or even read the Wikipedia. Just read the Wikipedia page. That's even more interesting. Though there is some fine acting in the movie is just, it's not a good movie.
Okay.
Okay. So that was my question regarding D'Artagnan. What's yours, Aditya?
All right. Fun little piece of trivia. Biggest TIL of the episode, actually, that the Three Musketeers is part of a trilogy, not a standalone book.
Yes.
Okay. The next question is somewhat, I guess, well, not timely because it's already passed, but it came up recently. So it's about Ramadan.
Okay.
And since the month of Ramadan just passed, I'm going to ask you a question related to it. Which place in the world during Ramadan is the fast broken at two different times?
Which place in the world is where Ramadan's fast is broken twice during a day?
Yeah.
My first inclination is to go to the extreme north, somewhere in Norway or Svalbard or places like that, where there is sunlight for a very long period. Is it something like that?
It's very interesting. If you actually look at Muslims who live in the extreme north of the globe, they do tend to have a difficult time, especially when there is no sunset for very long periods, or not at all, in fact, in some parts of the world. So how they deal with it is a very interesting thing that a lot of people can go search on YouTube. There are some short videos, documentaries which cover that. But no, in this case, that's not the answer. Because even there, the fast would be broken at the time of sunset.
So then there would have to be two sunsets for them to break their fast in one day.
For this question, yes.
Okay, now, let me just ask you to rephrase that question, or let me just clarify. You said which place? You're not saying where on earth?
No, I'm not. But I mean, I don't know why that would be so different. But anyways, go ahead with your guess.
Because I was going to think, what if there is a Muslim astronaut on the International Space Station or somewhere? Like, he would have multiple sunsets, right?
That's actually a very interesting guess. And I would love to search if there has been such a scenario where a Muslim astronaut has been in space during Ramadan. But no, not the answer in case.
Okay. No, I thought I was being very clever with that. Okay. So, I'm okay.
I'll give you brownie points for a clever answer, for sure.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. No. Twice a day, breaking fast twice a day. No, you'll have to give me some sort of clue here.
I guess it's on Earth. No, wait. You already know. Not an astronaut. So let me tell you that the difference between the first time that the fast is broken and the second time is 2 minutes.
2 minutes? How can you break your... So the second fast is lasting only for 2 minutes?
All right, let me clarify. The second fast isn't lasting for 2 minutes. Huh. Some people break it at a certain time and the other group of people break it 2 minutes later.
Okay, is this some country which is like across the dateline or something like that?
Again, it wouldn't be 2 minutes in that
two
case.
Minutes.
And breaking of the fast has nothing to do with the time of the day.
Oh, okay. I know this now. Okay, I got it. Separate piece of trivia. Yeah. But I believe that this is in Dubai.
Hit it out of the park. Go
okay.
for it.
So this trivia is exclusively to one building in Dubai, which would be the Burj Khalifa, where the sunset is seen 2 minutes later on the top floor as compared to the bottom floor.
Correct. Yes, that is the answer.
Yeah, so, because I had read this piece of trivia that you can watch the sunset twice. You watch it from the ground, then you take one of their high-speed elevators all the way to the top and you can watch it once again.
Yeah. I believe the elevator speed, or rather the elevator gets you up to the topmost viewing platform in 90 seconds. Oof. So you would be able to see it with 30 seconds to spare. And yes, the people who live in Burj Khalifa, if you are above a certain floor, the Muslim clerics will recommend that you break the fast 2 minutes after whatever everybody else in Dubai is doing, because your sun would still be visible for two more minutes as compared to the rest of the population.
Nice.
And I guess that's the price you pay for being that bougie.
Oh, no.
Living.
No. No. Just no. But great question. I love these kind of questions that you put up. Beautiful question, Aditya. That would be the question for the day. I'm now going to move on to a question that Ayush has sent. So this is the second question from Ayush that he has tasked me to ask you. Madhu Dandwate served as a railway minister in the Janata Party government in India between 1977 and 1979. And he made an initiative that had a profound influence on the lives of millions of ordinary Indians. He tried to bridge the enormous class difference in Indian railways. As railway minister for 2 years, Dandwate implemented a comforting measure in praise of which historian Ramchandra Guha argued that if a social history of the Indian railways is ever written, it might be divided into two parts entitled Life Before Dandwate and Life After Dandwate. what path-breaking measure did Dandwate implement?
Do we know which time frame?
This is in between 1977 and 1979.
Interesting. So, air conditioning could be...
No, that's a little too early for air conditioning, I believe.
Right. Everything else I can think of in the railways would be too trivial, because I'm thinking like cushioned seats and stuff.
Oh.
I imagine.
Okay.
Is that close?
Actually it is. Why am I doing this? Yes, you have the answer. So it's basically not cushioned seats, but cushioned berths, sleeping berths.
Okay. All right. Interesting. It is considered that significant a change. Huh?
Yeah. All right. I mean, like, just imagine you had to sleep on the wooden, sleeping berths. Compared to that, I completely get
how that would be a game changer. I just thought it would be obvious enough. But I guess, in retrospect, everything is very obvious.
Yeah. Yes, so maybe. Yes. Okay, I'm mistaken. Let me just say this again. I was mistaken that air conditioning was first introduced in India in 1934 for the frontier mail. And in independent India, the first air-conditioned train plied between Howrah and New Delhi in 1956.
Okay.
So, air-conditioning had already been implemented. I was not aware. I thought that was a more recent innovation. But yes, so you are right. Dandwate introduced padded berth. And it had such a big impact that Ramchandra Guha said that if there's ever a social history of the Indian Railways written, the time period would be measured as life before him and life after Dandwate. So, thank you, Ayush Dash, again for that beautiful question. So, that's all the time we have for today's episode. Let me just answer the question that I asked in the beginning of today's episode. So, the question that I asked was this. The logo of the sports team features a rotating Sudarshana Chakra, which is a discoid weapon used by Lord Vishnu in Hindu mythology. On the logo, this Sudarshana Chakra leaves behind trails of orange and green, colors representing the national flag. The anglicized version of the motif or the Sudarshan Chakra, Razors, was initially considered as the team name before the current name was chosen. Which team are we talking about? Aditya, do you have an answer for this?
The Mumbai Indians.
Yes, it is for the Mumbai Indians IPL cricket team. If you don't know, you can just go check out the logo.
Only reason I know this is because I have been conducting quizzes for IPL recently. Both Vineet and I are not the best at sports trivia.
No, absolutely not.
Most catch up on my IPL trivia, so I know a fair bit about IPL trivia, actually. So, come at me with IPL. No, please don't. Give the same questions to Vineet.
Please, everybody send questions about IPL so that I can torture Aditya.
Alright.
Now that he has thrown down the gauntlet, pick it up, our dear listeners. Please pick up the gauntlet. Please send me questions. Aditya, what is your question for this week? What new torture are you going to inflict on our listeners?
We spoke about how Madhu Dandwate revolutionized Indian railways. Okay. I want to ask who revolutionized the Indian airline industry and how and when? That's a very open-ended question that somehow there will be an answer to next week.
A rational person might say Mr. Tata, but I know that you're not rational when you're asking these questions. So let's wait to see exactly what you come up with. Aditya, what's your pop culture recommendation for this week?
Okay, so I did a name drop a friend of mine a couple of weeks ago who happens to be a rap artist.
Hey.
So that was a recommendation from a few weeks ago. Today I'm going to name drop another friend, Tanvika. And Tanvika Palekar is an actor. And she recently appeared in a film that I had the privilege to watch. It's called LSD-2. So, Dibakar Banerjee is a sequel to his very popular LSD from 2011, if I'm not wrong. LSD-2 just came out in theaters. I cannot recommend that film enough. It is so much fun. My friend Tanvika is in it. But regardless of that, even if I did not know a single person was in the film, I would still recommend it so, so highly. It was a blast watching that film. If you're into satire, if you're into comedy, if you like a show like Black Mirror, which talks about the future and how technology is going to shape us all, LSD2 is a film that you absolutely cannot miss. Go watch it in theaters, or, well, I guess you can wait for it to come out on OTT. But yeah, watch the film for sure.
Great. I will definitely watch, because Dibakar Banerjee is one of my favorite directors in India. So I will definitely be watching that. My recommendation is something a little off-brand. I'm not a person who watches a lot of these kind of romantic movies or rom-coms. My standards are a little high when it comes to romantic comedies. And modern day romantic comedies, at least in the past 2 decades, there have been just very few that I can point out to say, like, this is a really good romantic comedy. I know these are fighting words, but I stand by it. So I've recently watched a romantic comedy. Again, I own up to the bias that I am a little biased towards this movie, because this is a Malayalam movie and I'm a Malayali. But this movie's been a hit all through the states in India, so I believe anybody can watch it and still enjoy and still relate to it. The script is top-notch. When it released, Bharadwaj Ranjan actually mentioned that this was probably the best script of the year so far. It's a beautifully performed film. I would advise all of you to go watch it. It's available on Hotstar now. The name of the movie is Premalu. So Premalu, it's a very young romantic comedy, very fresh. The story is nothing new. It's the well-trodden track, but the performances and the script and the characters themselves are so relatable to many people. I would definitely encourage everybody to go watch it. It's available on Hotstar. I made the mistake of not watching it in theaters. I watched it much later on OTT, and I sincerely regret that happening. But it's a fantastic movie, and I recommend everyone, please go watch it. It had a tiny budget, but it's already scored hundreds of crores. So please go watch Premalu on Disney Hotstar. And this is not a recommendation for Disney Hotstar. This is a recommendation for the movie Premalu.
Okay, great. I will check it out.
So that's all the time we have for today's episode. Thank you all for joining in. We hope, sincerely hope, that you enjoyed the show and you learned something new. Massive TILs, amazing questions today. If you liked what you heard, please consider subscribing to our podcast and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform, wherever you're listening to us. It helps us reach a wider audience, allows more people to discover and enjoy the show. Take 2 seconds after listening to my spiel to go hit the subscribe button and the follow button. We would also love to hear from you, feedback, suggestions, even trivia. You can send us questions that you want asked on the show. Just tag us, tag the Quizmaster in the subject line, and send an email to areyouquizzingme@gmail.com. You can reach us on Instagram at areyouquizzingme. We have a Reddit community, a subreddit, r/areyouquizzingme. You can go there and interact with other listeners as well. We appreciate your support and look forward to sharing more episodes within the future. Thanks, guys, again for tuning in. Have a great day.
See you guys next week.